Okay, it is Tuesday, May 19th, 2 o'clock. This is the regularly scheduled city council meeting for CUNA, Idaho. We do have some people that we don't see when they speak, so if you would, before you speak, please announce who you are so that we can keep the record straight. Chris, would you go ahead and take the roll?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember F. McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And the first item is the consent agenda. Are there any questions or comments or motions to approve? Or disapprove, or whatever you like to do.
If nobody has anything, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. The next item, we have our Ada County Assessor Robert McQuaid with us, and he is going to give us a briefing on assessments for the year. Robert? Or Bob, I guess.
Bob, yes, I prefer Bob. I wasn't originally going to do this assessment briefing this year because of things have changed. I got a call a few weeks ago from, I believe it was the City of Meridian, asking if I would do it. And I said, well, I would do it, but it would have to be on a virtual meeting. And it went well, so then we decided to check to see if anybody else wanted it. So here we are. Last year I had some slides. I don't have slides this year. I'm doing this by myself, and if there is a problem, I wouldn't be able to get to resolve it, and it would just end everything. But did you happen to get this spreadsheet here? It shows what the values are.
No, I didn't see that.
I'm sorry. I can get those out to you if you want after we're finished here. I'm just going to make this very brief. I want to just keep it to 10 minutes here, but there are a couple of things that we really need to discuss. The assessment is a bit different this year. But just to get started, we're going to be sending out 200,000 assessment notices this coming weekend. And just about 9,500 of those are going to be people who own property in CUNA. I just want to just stress a couple of things before we get going. Number one, by statute, we have to be market value as of January 1st. And the Tax Commission has some rules that say that we have to be market value is plus or minus 10%. So in other words, 100%, or we could be at 95% or 105%, if we don't like being over 100%, but we have to be at 100% plus or minus 10%. And last year and the year before, we know in single family residential, we were at 98%. People have asked, why don't you go 100%? Well, if we're at 100%, that means half of the people are over 100%. And I'd rather fall at 98% and at 98% be a little bit less than 100, knowing that most of the people are going to be 100% or less. So that's one. We have to be between 90 and 110% on market value. The second thing that's really important to understand this year is the value has to be as of January 1st. So our assessment is based upon information that influenced the market last year. What happened with the coronavirus and the pandemic, that all came about in March. So that really does not show up in our assessed values. I think that's important to keep in mind. And I've got a comment to make in just a minute that those two pieces of information are going to be very important to understand. So just quickly, the total market value in CUNA is at $2.2 billion. That's over 19% compared to last year. That's the total market value. To come up with a taxable value, you would take out the homeowner's exemption of about $600 million, take out exemptions that have not been approved yet or we aren't aware of, about $500,000, add operating property $19 million. So the number you're probably most concerned about is the potential taxable value. That is about $1.6 billion. That's theoretically what you would be levying against on the property side. And that's a 22% increase. And by the way, CUNA had a very, very good year last year when it comes to property taxes. Let's talk about residential property. And I've got a few comments I really need to say there. But first, I'm just going to start out by saying that your residential market, you have market value is about $200 billion, and that covers 9,000 residential properties. And there was an 8.5% increase in the number of parcels last year. That's a pretty big number. That's the biggest in the county, I believe. So you have a lot of growth over at CUNA. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know already. The important number one everyone really watches for and looks for, and that is the median increase on existing family residential property. And this is where those first two comments become really critical. In March, I got a call from a person who does property taxes, one of the largest corporations here in the area. And she said, Bob, what are you going to do with market values this year? MLS is up 10%. And I said, I know it's up 10%. And we don't assess to MLS, but we use MLS as a comparison to see how close we are. Those two should rise. The person told me, he said, if you raise values at 10% this year, you are going to have a firestorm. You should be using, freezing your values to the 2019 value. And I certainly took that to heart because I have a great deal of faith in what this person says. And I had some other people that also said, we're not going to, you know, we really need to freeze values this year. Well, what I did is I made a few phone calls, and that resulted in three phone calls, conference phone calls, with people from the Association of Counties, the Associated Taxpayers of Idaho, and then also some industry representatives, some other assessors, and some commissioners. And we explored the idea of freezing values. And it didn't take too long to realize we cannot freeze values because that goes against the statute where we have to be at market value. So we just couldn't freeze the values. Then we started exploring the path. What is it if we didn't go, if we were not as aggressive with our values this year as we have been in the past? In other words, we were assessing single-family residential at 98% last year. Could we go at 96% or 95%? And still we would be in compliance. Because remember, we have to be between 90 and 110%, and we're at 98%. After several phone calls and discussions, we decided that we would not be as aggressive this year. And in fact, rather than being at about 10% increase countywide, and CUNA would have been a little bit higher than that, we decided that we would try to get our assessment level from 98% to about 94%. In other words, we were going to reduce the values by about 4%. And that's what we have ended up doing. Now, and by the way, many of the assessors are going to be doing that same type of assessment. One of the complaints was, well, you're just kicking the can down the road. The market this year has been really a very robust market. In fact, real estate, single family residential real estate for the first quarter here in Ada County is up 16% for this year. And it dropped off April, it's about 14%. So we were told that if we were to lower the value, we're just going to play catch up next year. Well, that's making an assumption that the market is going to continue very strong, which I don't know if that's the way it's going to be. Economists feel that nationally, we're going to be about single family residential market will be about up maybe 1% off about 3%. So with that all having been said, I feel that next year, perhaps we'll be real close, that we won't have to make much of an adjustment at all, that the market will have come down. There are some signs that the market is starting to, some cracks in the market, but nothing to really indicate, you know, strongly that the market is going to collapse. Certainly it's going to be going down. So the whole upshot of that story is MLS, single family residential, went up 10%. CUNA went up 7%. So CUNA's, your value would have been more than 10%, but it's up 10% on single, or 7% single family residential. And that then puts us into the assessment level about 95%. And one thing I'd like to say before we leave this, commercial has almost always been at 95%. Commercial, we don't have the sales. We have had 13,000 sales, residential sales last year. We get less than 50 commercial sales. So our commercial is at about 95%. So commercial and residential are about the same level of assessment. And I'm just going to just move on. I've set my alarm. I've got just about 2 minutes left here. Real property, commercial, it's $126 million. That's about a 19% increase. Median change on commercial is about 5%. And total market value is not taxable. Market value includes personal property, about $135 million. Just going to hit new construction here very quickly. New taxable new construction is $160 million. $92 million of that is single family residential, and $13 million is commercial, and $53 million of that is new subs change of status. That is, if you have ag land that was now subdivided, that would be a change of status. It went from an ag valuation to development ground. The last thing I want to just to spend a minute on here is called the tax burden. We've always talked about that, and that's who's paying the tax, residential or commercial. Countywide, it's about 70% residential, 30% commercial. In CUNA, it's 90% residential and 10% commercial. And that number has been changing. The last couple of years, it's shifted. Residential is picking up about 2% more per year. For the last 2 years, commercial is paying about 4% less in the last 2 years. But this, I just want to just make a comment on this because it's really misunderstood. Residential obviously is paying more, but there's some good reasons for that. One of the reasons is that in residential property in CUNA, you have 9,000 residential parcels. That's 30 times the number of commercial parcels. And you have $2 billion in residential property, and that's 6 times the value of the commercial. So with commercial, you've got 291 parcels, 125 million. The important point of all of this is residential represents about this much of your market value. Commercial represents about that much. So it as residential continues to go up because there's more demand, it's increasing much faster than residential, or excuse me, than commercial, plus you have more residential properties, that just, it stands to reason that there's gonna be a tax shift residential to commercial. But that doesn't mean that it's all attributable to that. The homeowner's exemption has been fixed at $100,000 for, I think it's the last 3 years. So when that was being indexed, it mitigated that shift somewhat onto residential property, but that's been frozen. And there wasn't much room, much discussion in the legislature last year for that. Well, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm just going to wrap this up. My 10 minutes I've allotted myself is over with. The 2019 market, it was hot, but it has slowed down somewhat compared to the 2018 market. The growth in residential values in 2018 were 17%. Last year, we were just at about a 10% increase across the county. The number of new parcels, that has slowed down somewhat. And then new subdivisions, that has gone down. So in 2019, we saw a slowing down of the market. Nothing like what it was in 2018. But in spite of all of this, as of the 1st of May, the residential market, single-family residential market, still continues to be very strong. We really expect to see, we haven't seen much on the commercial side yet, but really do see a very significant impact of the coronavirus on the commercial property for reasons I'm not going to go into. I know that you have a good feel for that yourself. Well, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, those are my remarks for 2020, and I didn't mean to get so much into the weeds, but I think it's important to know that we typically would not do this. We wouldn't typically say we're not be as aggressive in our single family residential markets. But we just felt that because of what's going on, 36 million people in the country are now without jobs. People are sick. There's a lot of uncertainty out there, and we just felt that we needed to do something to address that, even though everything is as of January 1st.
Well, Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I know you get a lot of flack for the increases last year, and I think a lot of people don't realize that you're bound by statute to make those assessments accurately. So is there any council members that have any questions for Bob while we got him online?
I just wanted to say thank you for the presentation again. I always find them very informative and appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
That's so nice of you to say that. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, this is Bill Gigray, city attorney. I know I'm not a council member, but can I ask a question when the council's finished?
You sure can.
Well, thank you. Mr. McQuaid, thank you very much for your presentation. I appreciate the opportunity to ask this question as I represent, I'm the city attorney for CUNA, but I also represent some fire districts in Ada County. My question concerns House Bill 354, which you probably are familiar with, and now we have a new requirement that if any of those entities would have a foregone amount because they're not going to take the full amount of what they are allowed dollar-wise to take, they now have to pass a resolution that they reserve the right to take that foregone amount in a future fiscal year. My question is, would the proper procedure to follow so that your office is aware that they've done that when they have a foregone amount, would we provide a certified copy of that resolution with the L2 when it's filed? Would that be the proper procedure to follow?
Mr. Mayor, if I may, that's way beyond the scope of my job, but my guess would be you would file something with the clerk's office on that. And in fact, the best source for that information, his name is Brad Vanderpool in the clerk's office, and he would be a real definitive answer. I could guess, but usually when I guess, I end up being wrong.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Bob. Was there anything else for Bob? Well, Bob, as always, I appreciate all you do down there, and I appreciate your openness and availability when we need to talk to you about things. So thank you again very much for taking the time.
Well, Mr. Mayor and council members, it's been my pleasure, and I really missed my drive over to CUNA. I just love the drive over there and seeing you all, but we'll do that next year.
Very good.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Thank you, Bob.
All right, thanks. All right, very good. Next item is item 7A, consideration to approve resolution number R282020. Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director. Lisa.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. Lisa, Economic Development Director. So this item in front of you is a lease agreement or resolution to allow the city to execute a lease agreement with the school district. We have talked a lot about the CUNA Market Village potential. And if you scroll down in your packet to page 14 of 15 in 7A, you'll find kind of a potential layout. But we've talked about creating a market village that could have some of our retailers and home-based businesses have a small 120 square foot shed-based unit that they could operate their business out of, and also have a number of different training programs available to really help grow entrepreneurship and help some of our small business community create a gathering space, do all sorts of different things. So we've talked with the school district about utilizing the 4th Street Gym outdoor courtyard area that they've got to create this market concept in. And they were very, very excited about the partnership. I've met with the school board a couple of times answering questions, and they are really looking forward to the partnerships, not just in housing us for where we would put these sheds, but also for some of the programming support in trying to involve their students with potentially the construction of these units, helping manage these units, giving some business training. So I think it's a great opportunity for the city and the school district to partner together in how something like this could take shape. So the lease agreement is, it's for a 3-year term. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions that might be out there from you. We have the ability to extend that term, but we'll just kind of reevaluate and see how this thing goes. At this point in time, we're trying to figure out when the right opening date would be for a concept like this. Originally, we wanted it to be open all summer and have kind of a season that goes every year from May to September. And with COVID, we obviously pushed that back to keep everybody safe. There's a potential we could open it as fast as August if we wanted to, but I know Chris and I have been trying to find some additional grant resources to help us get the concept a little further and be able to open it in more of one phase rather than two or three phases. So we're looking at some other opportunities, and it could open as early as August, but it might be that we open up for a holiday season or really just do a full blown out launch next year and do a lot of the infrastructure work this year. So I'm happy to stop there and answer any questions you might have.
Okay, any questions for Lisa?
Lisa, I do have a question, if I can, please. This is Councilman Christensen.
You bet.
Just out of curiosity, have you seen a lot of interest from various maybe small home businesses that wanted to participate in this? Is it something that people seem excited about on the business side?
Great question. We have done a little bit of outreach, and that's part of the reason I'm thinking maybe we would wait a little bit longer just to make sure we survey those folks and have a really good representation of who's going to participate. But I have three or four that are interested already that we've spoken with. One that said, if you give me the lease agreement, I would sign it today. I'm ready to go whenever you are. So we've talked with a few people. We've got a few things to work out. Some of the smaller retailers say, I don't know if I can manage my own storefront, but I would be really interested in having my products for sale in a storefront. So potentially there might be some units that are shared between two different types of home-based businesses. I think as we start advertising it, we will start seeing more interest. But before we started advertising it, we wanted to make sure we had a location to house it in first and all the legal stuff in place. So at this point, we've formed the legal agreement with the school district if council decides to sign off on it. We are working on putting together a design review application that would go through the Planning and Zoning Commission. And Jace is helping me with that. So we'll make sure that we work with the school district on the layout and the build out of how this thing looks and the way that the units are structured, the colors, schemes, make sure it matches downtown. And we've also got legal guideline, or legal has already approved for us a template we can use for tenants that utilize the spaces in the future, as well as an application form. So now that we've gotten a lot of those pieces in place, we could start advertising it. And I think we'll keep working with the Economic Development Committee and council and city staff to do some more surveying of the business community to really get a good response of how many people want to participate. But I imagine that we're going to have a pretty strong response, especially if, I think in CUNA we'll find maybe five or six that are really interested in moving forward on something like this. We may actually attract some others from the rest of the Treasure Valley as well. Just having an opportunity to have locally made sourced products, I think we'll see a great opportunity to grow a community gathering space for CUNA.
Okay, that makes sense. That's wonderful. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Mayor?
Yes, Richard, go ahead.
This is Rich Cardoza. Lisa, I don't see any other than number 12 under financial obligations. Is there a cost to us to rent this or lease this from the school district?
Councilmember Cardoza, no, the school district has partnered with us as an in-kind partner on the lease agreement. So they have offered to let us use their space, and in exchange for that, we'll be doing some site improvements. We may be doing some fencing modifications, some security, helping with lighting, putting in some pathways, putting in park benches. Any structure that's a temporary facility like the shed units, park benches, those kind of things that are temporary, we'll maintain ownership of, but any site improvements we do will become the property of the school district. So that's kind of how the agreement was shaped.
Okay. Have you talked to others downtown that have permanent structures as to competition that would be in competition with them with maybe the base lease would be much less than what it costs to operate a building?
Councilmember Cardoza, great question, and it's certainly a topic that came up in the Economic Development Committee when we were discussing this. The hope is that it ends up helping support our downtown businesses, because if there's more of a reason for people to come downtown and gather, it helps the other downtown businesses have more people walking around and utilizing spaces, especially for the restaurant community. We haven't really done a town hall open house on what this could look like for potential tenants, but I think that's something that we would look at doing in the next couple of months, is opening it up just to have a Q&A with the business community. And I would certainly love to go out there and talk to businesses and make sure they feel comfortable with it. We'll do what we can to make sure that we support all of our businesses. The only other note I would make is we're going to have a limited season. So these won't be open 24/7. They'll be open for, I think right now we're planning Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the goal would be to try and get more people downtown for the weekends and for some of those prime hours where we want people to be walking around.
Thank you, Lisa. I think it's a move in the right direction. I just think there might be a disadvantage to the property owners who have a higher overhead cost. But I think I agree with what your philosophy is, that it'll bring in more business for everybody downtown, hopefully. So thank you.
Good. Richard, and I'll tag on to that too. Like Lisa said, that's something that we discussed quite a bit at the Economic Development Committee meetings. And I think we can find a way around that where it doesn't cause too much disruption to the established brick and mortar businesses. That's certainly something we want to avoid as much as possible. But thank you for the question.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anything further?
I'll just say real quick, my, I guess, thought on this project was also that businesses might take this as an opportunity to see, like, can they take the next step into a full-fledged lease? And so, you know, with the limited hours and stuff like that, it would be, you know, certainly different. But yeah, that the idea would be that hopefully this would let folks see if they think they can survive in a traditional lease format. And that maybe we would come up with our agreements and have them be more, you know, time limited. A business can only be in there for one, you know, season or whatever, so that it doesn't become a long-term alternative to the traditional model. So hopefully that'll also help with some of that fairness that you were thinking of, Councilmember Cardoza.
Yeah, Councilmember Bubin-Vanderhaar, if I can add on to that, that's absolutely something we discussed, and part of the reason we've referred to it somewhat as an incubator is it's not meant to be a long-term location for these businesses to stay forever. It might be that someone needs to be in it for 2 to 3 years to really figure out their business model, but we would reevaluate all the applications on an annual basis and make an individual determination on whether or not a business should qualify to be in it again, and give priority to people who make local products with the goal of trying to increase manufacturing opportunities, increase businesses to grow, and hopefully they grow out of it and find a brick and mortar location, or at least the opportunity to put their stuff in a national retailer or something like that. But we'll have some training that goes along with this to try and help them with their business plans. And I'd say that any business in the downtown community that wants to participate in the training, it would be open to them as well.
Okay, very good. Anything further for Lisa?
All right, if there's nothing else, I move we approve resolution number R28-2020.
Councilmember McPherson, I second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution R28-2020. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you. Next item is for Lisa also. Consideration to approve resolution number R29-2020. Lisa.
Mayor, council members, I just figured since I had one thing on the agenda, we might as well go through both of the big ones, right?
Yeah.
So I've also got Megan Conrad on the phone. She's with Elam and Burke, and she's here to help answer any legal questions you might have related to the eligibility study with the Urban Renewal District. But I'll give a brief overview of where we're at and kind of what we're asking of you right now, and then we can kind of talk about what next steps could look like. We've been talking about urban renewal for a number of years with the city of CUNA. If you look through the resolution draft, Megan from Elam Burke had done a great job of recapping a lot of the different conversations we've had throughout the years related to urban renewal. CUNA has developed a little bit as a bedroom community, and as the assessor's office just said, only 5% of our assessed value comes from commercial, and we definitely want to see that change a little bit. And one of the only tools that exists out there to help communities with infrastructure is urban renewal. I won't go back and re-explain how urban renewal works unless anybody has questions or would like me to, but it's a tool that allows us to be able to help with putting pipes in the ground, help with roadway projects, help with really public infrastructure needs, sidewalks, those kind of things. It's not meant to build commercial buildings. There's a lot of people who misuse that tool. But our intention would be to use it solely for infrastructure and to try and really help build up our business core and opportunities. The first step in creating a district is to create an eligibility study, which you have in front of you. And the eligibility study really just determines what areas qualify to be in an urban renewal district. So if council decides to adopt this study, it's already gone before the Urban Renewal Agency. They recommended approval. We've also shared it with Ada County, and I'll get to that here in a second. But if council decides they want to move forward with this, the next steps would be that we would start the planning process of creating a district plan, which would also have to come back before you for approval. So this study really just says, here's the area that we're going to consider. We're not going to look outside of these boundaries. It may actually be a smaller area that we finalize with at the end, but it won't be bigger than what we've presented to you here. This is the area that's under consideration. And if we did change the boundaries and go outside of that, we'd have to go back and revise the eligibility study again. So because we have a few that are in Ada County and not in city limits, we would have to have an interagency agreement with Ada County commissioners to adopt that specific area. There's a small area. It's I think there's 20 some parcels. Some of them are really small and some of them are larger tracts of land. We've presented that to the Ada County Board of Commissioners and they're considering that right now. The way the resolution is drafted currently, you can still adopt this eligibility study regardless of what the county decides to do. But if the county enters into an agreement with us, we can keep some of those parcels that are in Ada County but not in city limits. If they decide not to participate with us, then we would just remove those parcels before we got to the district plan that would be presented back to you again. I'm going to pause there because that's a lot of information to start with and see if there's questions, and then I can keep going if there's more we want to follow up on.
Okay, questions for Lisa.
Lisa, this is Rich Cardoza. Looking at the map, I guess it is, the furthest we would go east is Strobel Road. Is that correct?
Councilmember Cardoza, yes, I believe that's correct. It would be Strobel Road on the eastern boundary. If you look at, I'm going to try and scroll in the packet here. Figure one in the report that's attached kind of show, well, the first page really shows where the boundaries go to. Strobel Road's kind of on the east boundary. On the south, we go down to parts of King. And then on the north, we go up to Boise Ave on one small section, and then we go west kind of towards 10 Mile. We tried to include, there's a number of different areas in there. We've talked about a potential overpass for CUNA for a number of years. So all of the potential overpass sites are included in the boundary. And again, we may decide to shrink it down a little bit further, but I think we've done a very good job of going out there, surveying people, looking at all of these pieces of land. We've had several meetings about urban renewal to try and capture as much public input as we can. And we've also met with a lot of our taxing entities. I hope that answers your question.
It leads to another question. On CUNA Road, before you hit Strobel, on the south side of the road, it looks like there's an excluded parcel And then if you go down Strobel, where the creek and the lateral is, there's excluded parcel. Why is that?
Great question, Councilmember Cardoza. You know, when we tried to plan out the boundary, we tried to look at the areas that really had infrastructure needs and challenges. And, you know, we have a limit of how much, what percentage of the city's parcels we can include in a district. So we didn't want to be including everything and get to the point where we were at the max of what we could include. But we wanted to look at really the areas that had the most potential. The specific area that was excluded, I can't exactly speak to what excluded it, but I think they have maybe some developments in process there that didn't count as blighted. So we decided not to include that there. And the other piece has still some development process to go and some infrastructure needs there.
So this is trying to maintain that 10% that we are allocated?
Correct. And I can't remember the exact number we're at, but I think we're under 8% with this district.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Anything further for Lisa? Okay, yeah, I'll just say that we have discussed this quite a bit. You know, we've talked about urban renewal for the city of CUNA for quite a few years, and we never did really ever come up with anything that penciled out to be appropriate. And we think this is a really good chance to help us to get some of those properties available for commercial use. Bob McQuaid talked about our commercial and residential balances at being 90% residential on the tax burden. And this is one way for us, this is one of the best tools for us to be able to promote for that commercial industry. So Lisa's put quite a bit of work in this, and we had a pretty favorable discussion with the Ada County Commissioners. I think that Lisa's probably gonna talk about that next. So Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. So we did talk to Ada County and we had a great conversation with them. Part of the reason one option would be that we would go ask any landowner who wants to be a part of the urban renewal district if they want to be a part of an annexation process to be included. But we thought it made more sense to work with the county on really putting together a solid plan of what we want to accomplish rather than just annexing for annexing's sake. So we've asked the county to consider joining us in adopting this eligibility study and be a part of the planning process for how the district forms. And we would also invite in our other public partners. The mayor and I have an appointment scheduled with ACHD to talk with them a little bit about, there was a legal change this year that after July 1st, county highway districts can be exempt from urban renewal district collection on the increment. So unless there's an agreement in place, so we're gonna talk with them and see if we can partner with them to keep the increment and focus on some of those roadway projects that they've been wanting to work on. But we're optimistic with Ada County and we're hopeful that we'll hear back. We sent off a memo to them this morning and we will hopefully hear back from them within the next couple of weeks before the next council meeting so that we can give you an update on what they've decided to do, if they wanna participate with us or if they'd rather see us just only include city-owned parcels, or city-annexed parcels, sorry.
Okay. Anything further for Lisa?
Mr. Mayor, if I may, the only other note I'll make is what we would hope to do is if council decides to move forward with this eligibility study, in the next council meeting, we would bring back a new scope of work for JUB to consider for council moving forward and creating a district plan. It's likely a 3 to 6 month process to create create a district plan. And then at that point we would go forward and bring it through the Urban Renewal Agency, and then it would come back before Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council for approval.
Okay, very good.
All right, I guess if there are no other questions, then I move we approve resolution number R-2920.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution R29-2020. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-17. This is a municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the city of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority annexing certain real properties, to wit, Ada County Assessor's parcel number R507050835, owned by Tree House, Ash Pond, Northview, Granger, LLC. That's like a one long word. And parcel number R507050305050, owned by 2DX Moore State Eldorado 34 LLC, with an unincorporated area of Ada County and contiguous to the corporate limits of the city of CUNA into the city of CUNA, Idaho, and establishing a zoning classification of said real properties and directing the city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date. So basically this one here is asking to annex property and then zone to the R6. So is there any discussion on this?
I move we waive three readings of ordinance number 2020-17.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of the ordinance. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? That motion carries.
Move we approve ordinance number 2020-17.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2020-17. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-18, an ordinance of the City Council of City CUNA making certain findings and rezoning certain real property, to wit, Ada County parcel numbers S13261201716, owned by Timothy Gordon, situated within the corporate limits of the city of CUNA, Ada County, Idaho, and amending the zoning map, directing the city engineer and city clerk, and providing an effective date. I believe this just coincides with our decision that we had made earlier and makes it possible for this property to become a church.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance number 2020-18.
Second, Councilmember McPherson.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of the ordinance. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Sorry, all opposed? And that motion carries.
Move we approve ordinance number 2020-18.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2020-18. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson.
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-19. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Endurance Holdings LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the New York Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map and providing an effective date.
Move we waive the reading of ordinance number 2020-19.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2020-19. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? That motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance number 2020-19.
Councilmember McPherson, second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2020-19. Is there any, Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. So now we're down to mayor and council announcements. So I'll just give you kind of an update on where we're at with opening things back up. Lisa Holland, I had asked her to put together a group of businesses, and I think I've mentioned this before, but we met with the business community. So when we came into this next phase of reopening Idaho, there really wasn't necessary for us to formulate a big plan because we had already worked with the businesses so that they could have input. And mostly we were there for support and to offer assistance in anything that was needed to help assist them with getting their businesses back open. That went really well. I just want to say that we have a great community. The businessmen and women that we talked to and worked with through this whole process have been very accommodating. They've been very willing to do what they need to do to follow the governor's plan. I never did feel like there was any reason to put any extra restrictions on anyone. And I'm just very pleased with the way that whole process has gone. So the only thing that we had to do is we're working on, so opening of the city hall, we'll just do that June 1st, which will be a Monday. So that'll work out well. So on the June 2nd will actually be our first council meeting of that month. So we'll kind of work through the logistics of that. We've already kind of set up council chambers to allow for the social distancing, which only leaves about 15 chairs out in the audience. So it looks a little sparse out there right now, but we're gonna just see what we can do as public hearings come. We haven't held any yet, we're gonna have to see how that works so that we can have some people here and some people that can call in. Chris has already been working on a plan pretty extensively for that. So we should be in good shape, barring any unforeseen problems with that. But I just want to say again, this has been a great community to live in with this coronavirus going around and the governor's orders. And you know, the citizens of the city of CUNA have just been outstanding when it comes to just doing what they need to do to keep everybody safe. And so I'm really proud to be a part of this community. So that's kind of where we are now. They're looking at if we have a large number of increases in cases, it would have to be pretty extreme, I think, in order for us to start going backwards in any of this reopening phases. The hospitals are set up really well, so I think we're in good shape there. There's probably, I'm being optimistic, I think there's a little chance that we'll have to go backwards in anything. So that's crossing my fingers and hoping for the best. But I think we're doing well. So I just appreciate your support and the community support through this whole thing. It's made life easier in CUNA than it has been in other areas. So appreciate that very much. So that's kind of all I had for today. Is there anything else any of the other council wishes to share?
Mayor, this is Rich Cardoza. I don't know if Bob was going to proceed, but the redevelopment of the street downtown is going very smooth. It looks like everybody's cooperating. It's been a smooth transition as they tear up the road. So,
good. Thanks, Richard. Paul, are you on board, Paul? Yeah, we don't have Paul here. So, oh, is he? Oh, there he is. Oh, look at him sitting there with Bobby. Did you want to give us any update there, Paul? On the downtown?
Bob's taking care of that most of the time, but we did reduce the water line by about 900 feet, and then we're cleaning up some plumbing around the water reservoir, and the guys have been really proactive in making that work properly, and Clint and Robert have been really great in that regard.
Good, thank you.
Sure.
Anything else from anyone?
Thanks for a job well done, Mayor.
Well, thank you very much. It's like I said, it's been an honor to be a member of this community. So, well, if there's nothing else, we will call this meeting adjourned, and please don't hesitate to reach out if there's anything that I can do to answer questions or any issues that you see. So everything's going really well, though. So thank you, and have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor.